Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
If you guys are going to help me welcome Ben Vizcarra up here. Cool.
Well, good evening. It's really nice to be here with you. Would you join me in a word of prayer? And then we'll open up. Father, again, we are just so grateful, Lord, for your salvation, for making yourself known to us, Lord. And Lord, we just want to commit ourselves to you tonight, Lord. We want to ask for a work of your Holy Spirit to bring understanding, application, and growth, Lord. So I pray blessings on your people tonight, Lord. I pray you would meet each and every one of them in a very wonderful way tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, truth be told, I received a phone call yesterday and kind of a last minute, if I could come. And I was happy to be here, and so that's exactly how I got here. Yeah, it was kind of a short notice. I understand you guys have been going through the book of Colossians. Yeah, how many weeks has it been? 5 weeks. Okay. That's pretty good considering there's four chapters. So anyways, how many of you joined in the group just for the first time and hadn't been through the Colossian book? Okay. Very good. Well, if you'll do me a favor, turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 4. So I have the privilege to kind of bring you on home. We're going to finish the book tonight. And so it's Colossians chapter 4, beginning just about verse 7. As I said, you know, given this opportunity to be here with you tonight, kind of being thrown into a book that you guys have been studying, you know, it's the last portion of the book. If you've been part of it, it's been a tremendous, should have been a very tremendous and rich experience to go through the book of Colossians. Paul the Apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has penned some of the deepest truths known for us as New Testament Christians. The wonderful truths about the deity of Christ, his supremacy, if you will. By the way, I'm a teacher at the Bible College here locally, and so, you know, I enjoy the Word very much, and I enjoy being able to bring it to you as well, but I like to educate people as well. And the book of Colossians is what is known as a polemic epistle. Epistle just simply means letter. But it's a polemic epistle. What is a polemic epistle? Well, its entire reason for teaching you these things is to refute false doctrine. And so how do you refute false doctrine? You give them the truth. How do you combat any type of lie? You combat it with the truth. And so Paul lays out the supremacy of Jesus, as you've studied, his superiority, his deity, meaning he is God in human form. And so, tremendous truths. In fact, Colossians chapter 2, one of my favorite chapters. And so you guys have been studying theology so much through this entire time. And now, at the end of this epistle, this letter, Paul gets very personal. And I think what we're about to see now as we finish off the book of Colossians is sort of a snapshot, really, into the local community of Christians. And what does that really look like? I think it's wonderful to understand the theology that's revealed to us. But how are you doing practically? Because at the end of the day, you can have all those fine points like a spiritual porcupine, but nobody can touch you. You become unrelatable. And I think Paul the Apostle now is going to show us, you know, this is a very practical thing, and he's going to give us a little insight into the love in the community. And so I'm glad to know that you've got your theology down. But how are you really on the ground? How are you doing? Love God and to love others. That's the key to Christianity. That's the real crux, if you will, of Christianity. It's not just knowing about God, but it's also sharing God's heart, being born again. And now you love things that God loves, and God loves people. And so, let's have a look. It begins here, Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. He mentions a few people. There's actually about 10 people that he's going to be referring to. Much like our church setting here, you know people by name. You may not know them so closely. Hopefully you have some good close relationships here, or you are developing them. And this is nonetheless the same thing that's happening here, among his group of Christians that are with him there. By the way, you know Paul is in prison here. This is also known as a prison epistle. And he's in Rome. And so he mentions a few people. And let's notice what he says here. It says, Tychicus, he's a beloved brother, faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. He will tell you of the news about me. And I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and, notice, comfort your hearts. So Tychicus, man, Paul has some good things to say about this brother. And what does he say? He says, Tychicus is a faithful minister. I know there's faithful ministers among you. Can you, in your church circles, can you say, hey, that's Tim. He's a faithful minister of the gospel. He's a good brother. Or perhaps it's a woman. Trisha. Oh, man. She's godly. She loves the Lord, and I just appreciate her. She's faithful. There should be relationships that you could actually say that about people. And Paul says that about Tychicus. He's a beloved brother. I really love this guy. I really care about him. He's a faithful minister. He's a fellow servant. And I'm going to send him with this letter and the letter to the Ephesian church, which we know as the book of Ephesians, along with another letter will be sent with this group. In just a moment, I'll explain that. But notice him. He says, I'm sending him. He's faithful. I can trust him with that. Isn't that cool to be used of the Lord? There's nothing better in all the world than to be used of the Lord. And here he is. He's being asked to take this from Paul the apostle to the Gentiles. God's anointing and authority is upon this guy. He is an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's asking me to run an errand for him because he counted me faithful. He thinks of me as a faithful minister. He thinks of me as a beloved brother. He really cares. He really loves me. I know this because he mentions it. I'm sending him to you along with these letters so that he may comfort your heart as well. He's going to tell you how we're doing. I know you guys are concerned about how we're doing. I'm in prison. Things are a little hot right now in Rome. But yet, he's also going to comfort your heart because he cares. I'm going to send him with Onesimus as well, another brother. He's also a faithful and beloved brother. I mean, I love this guy. I just love him. And he's faithful. He's a faithful brother. Who is one of you, actually? He's from Colossae. He's from Refuge. This is somebody we know. This is a hometown boy. And he's been here in Rome. He's been with me. I'm sending him along with Tychicus that he may know, or that they will make known to you, verse 9, all things which are happening here. Verse 10. There's Aristarchus, he's a fellow prisoner. He's with me. In fact, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. Let me back up. I didn't talk about Onesimus. Onesimus. For all you Bible scholars out there, I'm sure that name sounds very familiar. You might remember him because, believe it or not, he was a slave who was owned by a local guy in Colossae named Philemon. We have a book of the Bible called Philemon. And believe it or not, this guy, Onesimus, runs away, rips off his master, and somehow ends up in Rome, the capital of the then known world. We don't told the details, but perhaps he got arrested. Maybe he was found out. This is a runaway slave. And he got imprisoned with all, I mean, can you imagine, of all people, to be imprisoned with the Apostle Paul? The guy got born again. Talk about providence. I mean, I love providence. Do you know that word providence? It's God's overruling and overarching influence upon our lives and situations. It's an act of providence. I really believe God, in his greatness, orchestrated this whole thing. Because not only did the guy become born again, but Paul says, "You're joking. I know your master, Philemon." And he writes that epistle to Philemon. And what is basically the epistle to Philemon about? It's about, hey, this is Paul writing to you, Philemon. I'm asking you to receive this slave of yours who ran away, ripped you off. I'm asking you to now receive him as a brother in the Lord. And if he owes you anything, just put it to my account. It's a wonderful epistle, really encapsulating how God really treats us. We're a bunch of runaway, renegade, sinful people. And God says, I'll forgive you. In fact, if anything is owed on your account, put it on me, Jesus would say, because I hung in there for you. And so this becomes this wonderful picture. But Onesimus, Tychicus, they're sending them as emissaries to go to Colossae to bring them the news about themselves and to minister to them and to their needs. Then verse 10, Aristarchus, another brother. He's my fellow prisoner. Now, Aristarchus. Now, I don't know if you know who Aristarchus is. He's brought to us and mentioned to us in the book of Acts. He happened to be with Paul the Apostle when he was at Ephesus. You might remember this. Paul the Apostle was at Ephesus, and if you remember, there was quite a stir. The gospel was causing quite a stir, particularly among the idol manufacturers. The temple of Diana, remember that? Great is Diana of the Ephesians, and all this temple worship and all of these things. And guys were making a lot of money off of this. This was a good money maker. You could make these little idols and sell them, and people were buying them. And, you know, well, the gospel came in with Paul and all these people, and man, people started coming to the Lord. But forget Diana, it's Jesus. And so there was an uproar, so much so that it became a riot. And Paul was badly messed up. He was beaten up, almost for dead. Aristarchus was with him. Aristarchus was also accompanying Paul on this particular journey. Fast forward now, and Paul the Apostle is been arrested because he was on the temple in Jerusalem. And the Jews got all uptight because they saw him with a Gentile, or at least that false report that he brought Gentiles into the forbidden areas of the temple, which was a lie. Nonetheless, it caused a riot. If you remember from the book of Acts, Paul was arrested, and he was taken and before Festus and Felix and these others there at Caesarea on the coast. And through a few years' delay, he finally said, I appeal to Caesar. Paul the Apostle, using his authority as a citizen of Rome, I appeal to the Supreme Court. I want to go right, you know. And so they said, all right, we were going to let you go, actually, but because you've appealed to Caesar you must go. And God used this whole thing. Well, Aristarchus even accompanied him on this particular journey. And on this journey, if you know the book of Acts, you'll remember they suffered shipwreck. And all kinds of problems were happening. And then he accompanies him finally to Rome. And it says he's a fellow prisoner with me. Now, this is the type of guy. This is a friendship. This is a person that became so connected that he was always there with Paul through the hard times. And you know, I'm not sure where you're at in your life. I don't know if you've got any close friends. You really should, especially in the body of Christ. But there are certain blessings of a particular type of a friend that you know he's always there or she's always there in the real tough times because they really love me and they really care. That's such a tremendous support. And it would seem as though, because he says, this guy is my fellow prisoner, that perhaps he just volunteered, if my friend's going into jail, I'm going with him. How many of you would do that? So this guy's a tremendous man of love and character and devotion and loyalty. These are hallmarks of Christian men, Christian people. And this was Aristarchus, a fellow prisoner. Also, Mark, verse 10 as well. Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you've received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. Now, this is another amazing situation. Again, we're talking about relationships. I hope you realize that all of life is about relationships. Every single thing you do in life has to do with relationships. From going to the gas station to coming here and having to listen to me, talking to your friends, everything is about relationships. You've got family relationships, and you've got other relationships. Everything's about relationships. Even your walk with the Lord is about a relationship. And so this particular guy, by the way, this is where we find out that this John Mark is cousin to Barnabas, or nephew to Barnabas, excuse me. And this is a very interesting story if you know the situation that happened with John Mark. Again, relationships. The very first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas go, and Barnabas brings along John Mark, his nephew. And they get up to a certain place. They went through the Isle of Crete, Cyprus first, and then they ended up into Asia Minor. And at Asia Minor, when they got to the coast there, for whatever reason, we're not told, John Mark bailed on the group. Don't know. We can only speculate what happened to him. But he left. Nonetheless, he went back home. Second missionary journey comes along. Paul, Barnabas, and they show up at the docks. And guess who's at the docks? It's John Mark. And Paul says, no way. This guy is not going. This guy bailed on us. He's not going. And what ended up happening was they had a big split. It was the contention among them was so strong that Paul the Apostle just put his foot down for whatever reason. We're not really told. We can only speculate what his thoughts were. But he put his foot down. He says, he is not going on this trip. And they ended up splitting and they had two different missionary groups. Of course, Paul and Silas and Barnabas and John there. The contention was so strong that it caused this split. Maybe you've had those relationships where this is a brother, this is a sister. And for whatever reason, whether your own selfishness, your own flesh, your own whatever it is, you're not acting at all Christ-like. You have this contention and this friction in a relationship. It's always the Lord's purpose for you to come back together, forgive one another, love. And that's exactly what happened. Beautiful, beautiful story. Because love triumphs. See, this is the deal. On a very practical level, love God and love others. That's really it. I mentioned that earlier. The first John takes it even a little bit stronger, I think. He says, how can you say you love God but hate your brother if that's the case? You're a liar. You're lying to yourself. Because how can you say you love God whom you haven't seen, but you don't love your brother who you can see? There's an inconsistency. And you might want to double check whether or not you're really in the faith. Now, believe me, I understand there's problems in relationships. But at the end of the day, God got a hold of their hearts, got a hold of Paul. And there was a reconciliation. And I think primarily that is God's plan for all of his kids. Love one another. If you have a falling out with somebody, you better pray and ask God, Lord, I need you. And it's okay to tell them, you know what, I hate that person. Don't try to sugarcoat it. Oh, Lord, just give me more love. He deals with honesty. And you can say, you know what, I don't know why, it's terrible. I hate that person. And I know you would want me to love that person, and right now I'm struggling. He'll deal with that. He can deal with that. But a lovely situation turned around for the glory of God. There's nothing better in all the world than to see love prevail. At the end of the day, you shall know them, meaning Christians, by their love one for another. That's the hallmark of Christianity. You can go to the cults, you can go to non-Christian religions, and that's absent. You shall know that they are my disciples by their good theology. No. You shall know they are my disciples because they attend church. No. You shall know they are my disciples by their love one for another. And this is a beautiful picture here, actually, of this reconciliation that obviously took place between John Mark, and Paul the Apostle. He says so much so that if he comes to you, greet him, welcome him. I endorse him now. Isn't that cool? Like, I'm actually endorsing. This is Paul the Apostle. This is his letter. These are his, you know, wishes. Hey, if he comes to you, I want you to receive him. Beautiful. And then there's verse 11. This Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. What does that mean? It means of the Jewish race. Okay? So these are the only Jewish Christians that are helping me at the present time in kingdom work. And they have proved to be such a great comfort to me. I mean, come on. We all need comfort. We all need love. I mean, what are we doing? And what a blessing it is to be one of those people. By the way, Barnabas means son of encouragement. Wouldn't you like to be known as an encouraging brother or an encouraging sister? Man, we need that, don't we? I know I like to receive it, but I also enjoy giving it. Because I know everybody's so desperate for encouragement, man. We need to encourage each other in the things of the Lord. You know, everybody goes through tough times, and I have a feeling things are going to get tougher. Where are you going to be? Who are your friends? Where's your community? Are you being loving? Are you reaching out? You know, he who has friends must first show himself friendly. There comes a portion of your life that has to kind of reach out. Maybe you don't, you know, always feel so comfortable reaching out. Well, ask God to help you, because God wants you to. And he wants others to reach out to you as well. And so, these are of the circumcision. They are the ones, and they've been a complete comfort to me. Verse 12, we have Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ. He greets you, and also laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect, complete, in all the will of God. Now, this brother, this is a serious brother right here. Do you realize that there's probably nothing greater in all the world than to support your friends by asking God to help them through prayer? This guy not only prayed, because I would imagine most of you do pray, but this guy labored. It's like giving birth. And what was his prayer? It was that these guys would stand perfect, mature, complete. You know, I want you to be all that you can be in Christ. I really do. I want to see you succeed. You think God wants you to succeed? This is God's heart that this guy had. This is God's heart that he had for his fellow humans. And that's what it is, really. That's what concern is when you are a Christian. You're sharing God's heart because God's concerned about you. God loves you. God cares about you. And so how does he encourage others? Well, he has you engage in laborious prayer sometimes. Maybe your friend's going through a real tough time, man. Press in for them. intercede for them. What a blessing. And God does such a work in you when you're doing it. You know, he's actually building you up. He's changing you in prayer so oftentimes. But this guy was serious. And he showed practically how much he cared because he prayed. I think that that's probably one of the most strongest way you can support and show practically. You know, love, by the way, I hope you understand. I mean, you know, we live in this culture and got all kinds of different ideas about love. Love isn't necessarily a feeling. I hope you know that. It can be. But God never says, you know, I just feel for you guys. In fact, you never see Jesus say, you know, I love you, bro. But what he did do, he did things practically. That's how you show love. You're not to love in word only, the Bible says. Love you. Be warm and filled. We'll see you next week. Cheers for the coffee. No. Not in word only, but in deed. And that's powerful. Prayer is one way you can show in deed that you really care for somebody. You're lifting them up. So this guy, tremendous guy, Epaphras. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal or earnest desire for you and for those in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Laodicea, Hierapolis, it's like Fountain Valley, Costa Mesa. These are local communities to Huntington Beach, okay? They're all just nearby communities. And of course, you might recognize some of those names, particularly Laodicea, as referred to as a church there in the book of Revelation. Verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Now, Luke, the beloved physician. Okay, you got to remember, right? This is Paul the Apostle. You know, by the way, you do realize that Luke was accompanying Paul on these missionary journeys, so much so that he penned a book called the Book of Acts. And that's Luke's account of these missionary journeys. And of course, he wrote the book, the gospel called Luke. But his profession was that he was a physician. Now, if you know anything about Paul the Apostle, man, he used to raise the dead, heal, people would be healed coming through. But sometimes, you know, Luke could be a real blessing. In fact, Paul would tell Timothy, his little protege, hey man, have a little wine for your stomach's sake and you're off in infirmities. You know, he didn't get healed. But Luke the physician, to have him along on this trip, man, not only was he a historian and being used of the Lord to archive this record for us, but he was a physician. Now, I just want to say something about the body of Christ. If you are here today and you're trained in some profession, I don't care if you're a mechanic, a doctor, whatever, you're a blessing. You don't know how much of a blessing you are and can be to the body of Christ. You know, we're to do good to all, but especially those of the household of faith. And so sometimes, you know, whatever you're trained in, you're able to use that to minister to others that are your brothers and sisters. I know many people are professionals, whether dentists, doctors, and they really try to help. They know maybe you don't have a lot of money, but they'll take care of you. They'll see you. What a blessing. So Luke, and this is, by the way, where we found out that Luke was a physician, comes from this as well. And so Luke, what a tremendous blessing. Oh, but there's Demas. Now, who's Demas? You might remember this name. He's referred to as a fellow servant. Here it just says, greets you. But unfortunately, in 2 Timothy, chapter 4, the final report, it's not a good one. It says that Demas has forsaken me for this present world. And that's hard. That's really tough, especially if you got a friend. Someone that you really got close to, and they went off the rails. Demas was one of them. He forsook Paul the Apostle. loving this present world. It was just too strong of an urge for him. He didn't maybe deal with things. He didn't put his roots down deep. And he got plucked off. There's a lot of controversy about those types of things. We could talk about that another time. But Demas, forsaking Paul in the end. And he says to the local church here, greet the brethren who are in Laodicea, that's that surrounding community, and this guy, Nymphas, and the church that is in his house. So the local church, you know, up until the year about 300, there was no such thing as a local church. It was in people's homes. And maybe some of you attend a home group. There's a special blessing, isn't there, about being part of a home group, you know. And so he greets that home church as well. Now, when this epistle is read, verse 16, among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you'd likewise read the epistle of the Laodiceans. Now, what happened to that epistle? We don't know. We have no epistle to the Laodiceans. Many people think that he's referring to the epistle of Ephesians. Very well could be. I don't know. All I know is we don't have it. But nonetheless, they had the circulation. That's what it was in the earliest days of the church, up until the canonization of the scriptures, meaning all the books that we include in the scriptures. They would take the papyrus of the scripture and they would just, all right, man, we read it. Now pass it on to the next home group. This is from Paul the Apostle. It was scripture. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Paul the Apostle, remembering this guy, saying, hey, by the way, tell that guy, remember to stir it up. You've been given a ministry. He told Paul the Apostle, Paul the Apostle also said that to Timothy, didn't he? Stir up the gift that is in you through the laying on of my hands. See, I hope you know this. I don't have a lot of time to get into these things, but each and every one of you, I hope you realize you are gifted of God for some purpose. You have a spiritual gift, at least one. Every single one of you in this room, if you're born again. And Paul says, you know what? I recognize the hand of God on your life. And sometimes it's so evident, isn't it? You come around a brother or a sister and you think, man, the hand of the Lord is on you, man. God's given you a ministry. Stir it up. Use it. Be faithful. That you might fulfill the very plan and purpose, which may make you think, maybe we can miss it. That's a scary thought in some ways. And finally, this salutation by my own hand, Paul. Now, Paul, of course, he's in chains. Most definitely, these particular epistles were dictated. Somebody would write them down as he dictates. But at the end of the day, in his chains, he reaches and says, I want to write this and I want to put my name down. I want to personalize it to these people I love and care about. And he says, remember my chains. Grace be with you all. Grace be with you. Amen. And at the end of the day, that's the word of the Lord for you, is grace. I need a lot of grace. I need grace to be with me every single day, sometimes every single minute. Grace, grace, God's grace, greater than all of my sin and shame. Grace, grace, God's grace. What is grace? God's unmerited and unearned favor. Chew on that. God, I need your grace. Paul knew it. There's a guy in chains, he's in prison, and he's saying, grace to you guys from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. That finishes the book of Colossians for you. Some things to think about. Love one another fervently. Be kind, tender-hearted toward one another, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's a huge scripture, isn't it? Be kind, tender-hearted toward one another. Hey, the world's starving. The world is starving for real love. You guys have it. You have the ability to receive it from God the Father. And I understand we're all growing, but you have the ability to receive God's love. You receive the love of God in Christ. But then we grow, don't we? We grow in these things. And then it's to be given out, man. Love one another. The aged John, it used to say that he'd come into a room of people, his old age, you know. He lived to be really old, didn't he? It's the last surviving of the apostles, John. And he would just lift up his hands and say, love one another. He didn't have any more heavy theology than that. Because to be honest, that's as deep as it really gets in so many ways. Love one another. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day.